Well, friends, it is good to be here this morning with you. My name is Austin. I am one of the pastors here. In this Advent series, we've been talking through what does it look like and what do we glean from the life of Jesus from his birth, from the moment of his birth, not just so much as an adult, as our risen Savior and Lord, but as an infant, what do we glean from his life? But I wanted to take a moment just to remind you that our desire as a church is to help you find and follow Jesus and do that together, and that we believe that the paradigm that happens in disciples' lives are threefold, and it's to be with Jesus, to become like him, and to do what Jesus does. This is the paradigm of our lives that we revolve around as disciples of Jesus. And so as we do that, we this morning are talking about this idea of what does life in light look like? That Jesus is the light of the world, that he is the word, he is life. And I want you to think about for a second, I want you to take a moment and consider this. Just still yourself. How are you feeling this morning? I want you to think of one word right now that would describe how you are feeling. Just think about it. How are you feeling this morning? And then I want you to do this. Take a moment and consider, like, where's your heart rate at right now? Mine might be a little bit more elevated than you because I'm up here and I'm speaking and I'm actively doing something. But sometimes we think that when we're inactive that our heart rate is slow. But for some of us, it might be a little anxious. Now I want you to consider this. What's your breath like right now? How's your breathing? Is it shallow? Is it quick? Or you even consider, like, thinking about how your breath corresponds to how you're feeling. This morning, we're going to talk about this idea of how light and life come from Jesus. Not only from his death and his resurrection, but his arrival to us. And the thing that if he is the light and life, we understand that there are people that are dead and lost. I was once one of them. Sometimes even in my following of Jesus, I am lost. I am not so sure of what's going on around me. But the thing that I have been sitting in this text this morning, that if Jesus is the life and the light, the truth is where there are dead and lost, he is life and light. And so this morning in our text, I want you to read with me John chapter 1. This is the first words of John's gospel that he gives to us to understand and define. This is not a classic Advent reading, but it is a reading of the first moments of how things all started. But I also think of how things started when Jesus arrived. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. With him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we come here this morning in a myriad of different places. As we took a moment to consider how we're feeling, God, I pray that your Spirit would rest upon us. God, that you sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, to be with us, to be our encourager. So, Father, we are your people. You are our God. We come here to want more of you, to know who you are, to know your love, your hope, your joy, your peace. So Holy Spirit, this morning, would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us eyes to see? Would you give us a heart open to accept how you are moving? We ask this in your name. Amen. So through this series, we have been considering art as a form of meeting to increase our idea and understanding of wonder, to not just have our preconceived notions of what we think Advent was like or what the moment of Jesus' birth was like, but we are using it as a way in order to broaden our understanding. And so this morning, another a piece of art from the Honest Advent is this, that Jesus is the light of the world. And there's something about the medium of art that changes the way we think. A hand holding a matchstick, and a matchstick holding a baby, and a baby that gives off both light and warmth. It's not always what we expect, but it was given. And one of the things that as I look, and maybe hopefully you look and peer deeper into this, is that often Jesus isn't seen in this way, that he is life or he is light. But often we believe that Jesus is someone that contains in the form of light and in life. But one of the things that we want to understand as we look deeper into this, that Jesus isn't just the container. He isn't a container of life. He is life. Like one of the things that as I pondered that image over and over is that many people treat Jesus as a container, right? Like in this day and age, I don't know about you, but we still inherited like cookie tins, and my kids love over to grow over to open the tin and grab the cookies from the tin and close it, right? That it's somehow in that cookie tin is like the joyous, like sugar rush thing that they love, that they can't eat, like it's irresistible. And many of Jesus's followers, but also the crowds, taught him or treated him like a container. That they would go to him, be around him for what he could give. Right? Whether that's healing or words of life, freedom, words of encouragement. And even you and I, even I think people who are disciples of Jesus, still they come and they go to get what they want from him because he contains something. We believe that Jesus contains something that we need from him. But the moment that we go to him and get from him, now then we can go back to our pre-planned programming. You saw this in the lives of the disciples. You saw this in the people that followed him around the lake. There were crowds gathering after him. There was something that Jesus had, and they wanted to go to him in order to get from him something. I love the Message version of this text. It says, what came into existence was life, and that the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. And two words is like, it was life, and it was to live by. Not to get from, but to live by. It's not something that you went to in order to get from. He isn't a container, he is life. It's not just what he gives, but it is him. What came into existence was life. In his essence, who he is life. The shepherd and the magi came to him not to get from him a gift, but to give him gifts. Because he was worthy of it by the fact that the Messiah had arrived and was there. That as disciples in this season, we often can to act in a way of what we want and get from him. Right? We even ask that question, what is the gift, that's the best gift that you've ever given or ever received? And we're asking this idea of like, what do we come to Jesus? What is the best gift that he's ever given? Himself. That if you want something from him, you have to want him. That's why in our discipleship paradigm, as we talk about, that it's not just the starting with, is not just being close enough to receive from him, but just to be with him. That as our lives, as we often want to become like him, to be shaped like him, you have to be with him. You have to be with him. Not just long enough to get from him, but to be formed by him. And as we think about this idea of not only just getting from him, One of the things that I love to think about, have you ever been a campfire, right? I was a Boy Scout growing up, and so, you know, we'd have to like hike in and we'd have to build a fire, set up our tent. And one of the things that you learn very quickly is the proximity to the fire is important. If you don't get up there and set up in a strategic place, you are going to be cold and dark, right? One of the things that you might be able to you know, connect with a little bit more is a few weeks ago, we had something that pulled all of our power out. And that many of you and many people around were the fireplace was your only source of heat and light. And I remember hearing many of you saying like that you moved your bedrooms and your beds from the rooms into the living room or to wherever the fire was, right? Now imagine you thought and operated just in the way that we normally do. Is that you started a fire in the house, but you kept your doors closed and you slept in your rooms. Things would feel dark, hopeless. You wouldn't feel warm. It's proximity. It's proximity. You can be found and alive the closer you get to the source. We think about that in ways when our power goes out, when things that we can't control, we want to survive, like our bodies are naturally wired to survive, and in us we cognitively know that we can't exist further away from the fire or the source of heat and the source of life. Otherwise, it's going to get really dark and really cold. And so what we do is we move our life from the compartments that are further away and we move ourselves closer. How many of us in our lives operate in a place of feeling that you're lost or hopeless, yet you forget that you are in a room far away from the source with the door closed? Like I think of myself as a teenager. When I didn't want to hear it from my parents, I went up to my room and closed the door. And in the door, and in the room behind the door, I'd often feel alone. And things would swirl in my mind and make up stories of which I knew weren't true, but they would start playing out in my mind. My parents didn't love me. This is unfair. I wish they would just do this, that, or something else. And the longer I sat in there, the further I got away relationally, the further I felt loved by them, the further I felt like close to them. The further I felt like that there was something holding us together. And I had to make a choice to open the door and come out of the room, walk down the stairs and get in close proximity to understand the truth. To move away from my darkness to my parents. In the same way, there's so many of us that are living our lives in isolation, in the room, close the door, away from Jesus, and we believe lies and stories that we tell ourselves that aren't true. And in the season, like Kyle said, where it can feel really dark, just in the natural seasons that we live in, it also can be in our lives that we have put ourselves in dark, cold places, far from the source of life. What we need to do is open the door, go down the stairs, and get in proximity to what is life and to what is light. I want you to read this and realize this is another version, another translation of verses 4 and 5. I want you to read this and to see this. It says, the word gave life to everything that was created, and the life brought light to everyone. Two words. Everyone and everything. The light in life is not biased. It doesn't choose you because you've earned it or deserved it. It came in to this world for everything and everyone. Everything and everyone. But just because it came in for everyone and everything, you have to move. In the same way that the shepherds and the magi moved toward Jesus, so do you have to move towards Jesus, towards the light, towards the warmth. That's why in many of the pictures and depictions of Jesus in the nativity scene, there was light around him. Like a yellow circle that would be around him because he is the light and the life. In this season where things might feel dark, we have to move into proximity towards Jesus. Just like the room or the campfire, the further the way you get, the further the way you move away, the darker and colder life gets. But then there's also this. When I think about life, I don't know about what you think about, but when I think about life, and the reason why this morning we asked you to think and consider your breath, there's something beautiful about breath that maybe you might not have heard before. Maybe you have heard before, but maybe you just need to sit with it a little bit. This is another image I want you to sit with. We don't often think about it, but without lungs, you don't exist. Your body cannot expel the carbon dioxide, the things that would poison your body, without these two things. We don't often think, and in the morning when you woke up this morning, do you remember the first breath you took? No. You took the gift for granted. But it was a gift that in that morning, and while you had been sleeping, your body had been increasing in oxygen and expelling carbon dioxide. It had been breathing in life and expelling death. But when you say these words and these consonants together, they represent the way that you would say the name of God. That the name of God is pronounced without vowels, but with consonants. And these letters are said to represent breathing sounds. When you breathe in, without vowels. Can you imagine a God who has designed your body to breathe in and out his name with every breath you breathe? Whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you know him or not, every breath you take is a breath of testimony to the one who created you. And breathing is not just something that he created in you, but breath was breathed into Adam at the beginning. Breath was breathed into the dry bones. And when he breathed in breath, all of a sudden they started to knit together. They started to breathe all the tissue and skeletal structure and all, they breathed life and they became alive. Jesus, when his disciples were scared, terrified that he had left them, he breathed into them not just random breath, but the word, the name of God on them. And they became alive and inspired, transformed, not by something of their own doing, but by the name of God. They began to fill their lungs. But your body and your breath are wired together to correlate it, symbiotic, to have this change in breath patterns can directly impact your physiological state, your physiological state. Think about it for a second. Take conscious control of your breath right now. And however you're breathing right now will influence your physical and mental state. I would not only say that's true, but I would also say, because we're not divided and compartmental people, I believe that the way that you breathe forms you spiritually. I think it has a dramatic effect on your well-being. Think for a moment, pause. When you breathe really fast, what happens? Your heart rate increases. Your blood starts to respond. You're telling your body something is happening inside and I need to start ramping up production. Your nervous system starts to fire, to be on guard, ready for something to happen. But don't forget that as you breathe, you're breathing in and out the name of God. And even in anxious moments, you're like, God, I'm breathing so fast, I don't know if you can control this. I like to hear when my kids are a little bit upset with me or frustrated by me. And they sigh, right? I wonder with God how many times we do this. Yahweh. Yahweh. With just our bodies, maybe we don't have the gall to say it out loud, but with our breath, we say, God, do you really know what you're doing? Do you really have all things in your hands? That you created all things. And we sing the song, he's got the whole world in his hand. And you're like, Yahweh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't truly believe. Or maybe in those moments where you feel depressed, hopeless, and you just have really shallow breaths. If you've ever had shortness of breath, you teeter on the place of something's going to happen inside my body that I fear. That it will stop working. Now take a deep breath. Now do this. Take a deep breath, hold it, and then breathe in again. And then expel it. Like this. Maybe you didn't catch it. I want you to do this. There's something physiologically that happens to your body when you do this. Do it. Breathe in. Hold it. Breathe in again as deeply as you can. And then slowly exhale it. You're oxygenating your blood system. You're providing with more air and more life. And you feel what happened when you released it? It felt like all of the weight was just drifting off your body. And remember, at the same time, when you breathe in, you are breathing in more life and out more death. And at the same time, you were pronouncing and testifying that the God who created you brings more life and has the ability to regulate your life than anything else. That while the life around you might impact and change the way you breathe, nothing but the breath has ways to regulate your body. Friends, how often do you take for granted just the way that you breathe? The way that you testify to the goodness of God's work in your life by the fact that you just breathe. My hope and prayer, and maybe this is for you, that when you feel dead or lost, that you would just breathe. When you feel dead or lost inside, you would just breathe. Just breathe. And understand that the gift that you have been given with that breath is not only a gift that you can live today, that you can get to Christmas, but it is a gift for every moment of your life. With your first breath, you proclaimed that God is Lord. And with your last breath, you will proclaim that he is Lord. This is the good news of the gospel, is that with every breath you take, if you just pause and realizing you are preaching the good news to yourself, where you feel hopeless, there is hope. Where you feel lost, there is a way. When you feel like you are dying and dead inside, that you couldn't get further away from life, that he breathes life into your very lungs and expels out the death that you have been holding onto. The good news of the gospel is you don't have to hold your breath in any longer. For some of us, I feel like we have fear of breathing in life and life to the full, and so we hold our breath. But when you breathe the first time, it's not to breathe in death, it's to breathe in life. My prayer this week is as you move towards Christmas and maybe you leave from here and things get more anxious, I wonder if you just stop and breathe and proclaim to yourself that He is in control, that He is the hope, He is the life, He is peace. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, You are the gift from Christ to us to remind us that You are not far away, separated and isolated in the heavenly realms, but You are here. Holy Spirit, You are speaking. What do You want us to hear this morning? Holy Spirit, what forms of death have we been holding on to that are toxic, poisonous to our minds and to our bodies? You are the breath of life. In the same way that Jesus breathed on His disciples, would You breathe into our weary lungs? Would we feel life inhabiting our entire existence, not because we deserve it, but because it is a gift. That it's what You came to give, life and life abundantly. God, breathe on our weary lungs. Help us fight the good fight. Help us be the light of the world that points to You. We ask this in Your name. Amen.